Welcome to In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno. Today, we talk trade, NAFTA, and economic development along the border. Joining us is President of the Border Industrial Association, Jerry Pacheco. Mr. Pacheco also is the Executive Director of the International Business Accelerator, and he also writes the column Business Across the Border for the Albuquerque Journal. Jerry, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, you've had some interesting things happen where you work towards the end of 2017, some very newsworthy things. And I'd like to go off and talk about that a little bit. The first one that I believe happened in October, it was reported that Joniana County and Santa Teresa took over as the top exporter in New Mexico. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, if you had said that to me 25 years ago, I'd have thought you would have been crazy. Santa Teresa has 3,500 people. It accounts for about 0.001% of the state's population. If you add Sunland Park, another 16,000 people, it's 0.009% of the state's total population. That little area, that corner of New Mexico, surpassed the Albuquerque metro area and the entire state export base. We are now accounting for 53% of the entire exports that leave the state of New Mexico.
That's fascinating. I would like to get your perspective on why that happened. What were some of the things that really led to that growth?
Well, what's happened in Santa Teresa is a culmination of what we've been doing over the years. We've been recruiting out-of-state companies that have a relationship with a Mexican buyer. In other words, in Santa Teresa, we're basically a supplier base to the maquiladora, or the twin plant industry in Mexico. And over the years, we've kept adding companies, and they bring that export relationship with them to the border. And then that begets a lot of other ancillary business with sub providers and what have you. And all of a sudden we reached a critical mass, and we could tell it was coming a couple of years ago. And I didn't know whether it was gonna be 2017 or 2018, but we were pleasantly surprised that it happened last year.
Now, I'd like to kind of get from your perspective for our audience, just how business along the border operates where you're at. I mean, it seems like, you know, companies depend on multiple companies to get their product complete and to their consumers. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you take the example of an automobile, there could be five companies in Santa Teresa that are supplying that business. I always say that New Mexico and Santa Teresa is a major automotive base. People always kind of laugh at me when I say that, but it's true, because we have a multitude of companies that are making everything from the textiles for the seats, to the electronics for the inside of a car, to the headliner, to the wire systems that go in a car. It's so integrated with Mexican production and production on our side, it's almost seamless, the supplier chain, which is why when we start talking NAFTA and everything, it gets to be a little hairy. It's not black and white. You simply can't just say, okay, we're gonna stop this trade, or we're gonna slap a tariff on a Mexican product coming in, because that Mexican product most likely has American product in it.
Well, let's talk about NAFTA some, because it plays such an integral role in what you're doing there. As everyone knows, President Trump has made his thoughts and opinions about NAFTA very clear. He's called it, quote, the worst trade deal in history, from one of his tweets. You were here last year and talked about how that, you know, affected businesses. I'd like to hear really kind of what the vibe is right now from the companies that are there. Is there any anxiety or concern about ongoing trade negotiations?
I would say yes. I mean, of course there's anxiety, because we don't know where this is going. But there's too much at stake in our economies, and we're so integrated in the way we approach our trade bloc, NAFTA, between Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Companies are wary about the NAFTA negotiations. We're going into the sixth round on January 23rd in Montreal. But I'm very encouraged, because there's still the spirit of, we're gonna invest, we're gonna go forward. Trade makes too much sense between Mexico and the United States, that even if NAFTA goes away, we still have the World Trade Organization and that whole regime of tariff reduction. And yeah, there's gonna be sectors that are gonna be affected negatively, and you and I, the consumers, are gonna pay for that. We're gonna pay higher prices for cars, consumer products, if NAFTA goes away. But that's not stopping most of the businesses that I've been dealing with, and especially in Santa Teresa, who continue to invest. They're going forward.
Now, I'd like to talk a little bit more about that from a different perspective. You wrote a column last fall, discussing how you attended a trade fair in Juarez that focuses on maintenance, repair, and operations. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned in your column that you've been going to this fair for years. How has it changed over the years?
It's incredible. I've watched that particular show build up for maybe the last 10 years. The first year I went, it was in a convention center, and they had just a little corner. Next year it grew a little bit, next year it grew a little bit. Last year it was phenomenal. This year I had to park about half a mile away from the actual entrance to the trade fair to get in a dirt parking lot. It was absolutely packed. There were American companies there, there were Mexican companies, there were German companies. And I thought to myself, boy, this is an indication that the interest is still strong to make those cross-border connections and to do business. That hasn't gone away.
Now, you know, this is all happening after comments by President Trump, you know, really speaking his mind, you know, about NAFTA and also, you know, the anxiety, the ongoing negotiations. So it's still, businesses still looks like it's on the uptick there.
It is. The rhetoric doesn't help. It does not help. But when the rubber hits the road and trade is occurring and automobiles need to be built, flat screen TVs need to be built, our suppliers on this side of the border are doing pretty well, cranking up their production and supplying that other buyer in Mexico. And vice versa, we have a distribution logistics base in Santa Teresa where we're bringing a lot of that product out, and it comes to the United States, distributed in this country and worldwide.
Interesting. Now, I want to talk to you about another newsworthy thing that you were involved with, and as many folks know, Amazon is looking for a second headquarters and looking for a city where they can put that headquarters. You did something that really garnered a lot of attention. You really put something out there that a lot of folks probably may not have been thinking about. When I thought about all the pitches, I saw a lot of boxes and, you know, people opening up Amazon boxes, but you pitched a binational community. Could you tell us about that?
The Amazon deal is like the crown jewel of deals in the United States right now. You're talking about 8 million square feet and thousands of employees. We in Santa Teresa have what we call a binational community. We call it Los Santos because we have Santa Teresa on the U.S. side, and then our two partners on the Mexican side of the border are San Jerónimo and San José del Sol. We have incorporated the binational community into a 501c3 corporation. We're co-planning both sides of the border in terms of infrastructure and development. We're even planning our marketing, how we go out and do that. So when the Amazon deal came out, we thought, you know, we're probably not going to be able to compete in a traditional sense against Denver or Atlanta or Chicago. But let's throw a twist in here and let's get some recognition. And even if we don't get the Amazon headquarters, hey, we might get a distribution center, or if we don't even deal with Amazon, we can make the proposal so unique that other companies and the press are going to pick it up. So what we did was we proposed a binational campus, half on the U.S. side, half on the Mexican side. And a couple of years ago, we worked with, you've ever heard of Carlos Slim, the Mexican billionaire. At times he's been the richest man in the world. His son-in-law, a guy named Fernando Romero, is a world-famous architect. And we, through an intermediary, got together with him, and he said, let me help you with the design. I want to enter this binational concept in a worldwide contest, which he did. So we took that, ended up doing the design, proposed it to Amazon on both sides of the border, and we thought to ourselves, it's a heck of a long shot, but you know what? Once the press starts covering the Amazon deal, they're going to pick it up. And they did. So bingo, like 2 days after, and by the way, we did this with MEVITA, the Mesilla Valley Economic Development Alliance, and the state of New Mexico, the New Mexico Economic Development Department, and the New Mexico Partnership. We were a great team together. And we designed a website where other cities didn't want to talk about, okay, you know, all the details. We want everybody to see it. And we designed a website called HQ2countries.com.
That's very, very fascinating. I want to continue this conversation. Mm-hmm. We're going to wrap up this part of the interview with In Focus, and we'll continue to talk about this and NAFTA as we continue our conversation. But we want to thank you for joining us for In Focus. I'm Anthony Morneau.